Rainy at least this morning, Jason Cairns. Good morning. Best 5 minutes of the day. How are you?
Good morning. It's great. I woke up this morning and thought I heard the rain, and when I looked outside and then smelled it, I was like, man, this is very much welcome.
It is.
It looks like it's going to continue through the day today from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it is.
That would be welcome, too. So,
Yeah, today, this is going to be that good soaker that we need, you know, so.
Yep.
Well, it is also World Bee Day, and we learned earlier this week, again, just always learning about you, this Renaissance man of 2021, all of your deep interests. You love bees. So how do you celebrate World Bee Day?
That's a really good question, how one celebrates World Bee Day.
I've got an answer for you.
Okay.
I think it's by taking in a bit of this movie here.
Which
movie? For thousands of years, humans have misunderstood them and feared them. Now, one bee in a turtleneck sweater is going to change everything.
Stand back. These are winter boots.
There you go. The bee movie, huh? There's my surprise.
Wow. That's quite the introduction. You know, it's interesting listening to that. You know, there are people who get paid to have voices like that.
Yeah.
Produce, like, thriller movies and so forth. So, yeah. No, I think for me, normally I would be outside looking for them. I was last night. I had seen one out by our flowers. I think Heather was laughing at me because I was talking to them through the window.
Huh.
But with the rain today, they may not be bopping around as much as they normally do.
Did you ever see the Jerry Seinfeld Bee movie? And if so, what did you think?
I have not seen the Jerry Seinfeld Bee movie, and apparently I should watch it.
Well, except I think you might want to check the reviews. I mean, I think it got completely panned.
That's not surprising.
From what I recall, yeah. So
it didn't get A's or B's. It got D's or F's.
I will look up a review of the Jerry Seinfeld B-movie while you tell us about the latest book you read. Robert Farrar Capone, right?
Yeah, so I read his book, The Mystery of Christ. So he was an Episcopalian priest who was someone who, I think as well as anyone, understood the concept of God's grace. And he wrote this book about, again, the mystery of Christ. And it was really interesting because he took various counseling sessions and kind of walked through them. And then in between each of these counseling sessions with different people, he would have conversations with people, academics, scientists, evangelicals, and talking about what they had observed or witnessed in his counseling sessions. And, you know, it was really interesting because there was never a move toward fixing people. It was really about this willingness to accept and live into the reality of God's grace. And, you know, he was, I think, the guy who came up with the idea of God's 200-proof, unadulterated grace. And I think he came up with that term, and I've heard it used a number of times since then. But really, really good. You know, I think it's one of the things, if people want to read Capon, is that his
Parables of Grace.
You know, I think that they'll be challenged. You know, he... Go ahead.
No, I was just referencing, I think Parables of Grace is one. I think maybe even somebody commented on the thread where you posted some quotes that's another one.
Yep.
Yeah.
He had Parables of Grace, Parables of Judgment, and Parables of, there was a trilogy that he wrote, and that one's on my shelf. I haven't read it yet, but I think there, when he writes, people are going to go, oh, is it okay that he's saying this? And I think it's okay for us to be challenged in that way sometimes.
Yeah, I think what it is just that, I mean, think about some of this, having preached on Luke 15 this past weekend. I mean, it's just the idea, like, dive back in. And I don't know, when grace becomes commonplace, I mean, that's just, you read some of the stories and it's supposed to be stunning. I think in Luke 15, like, God's grace is stunning. I think the Luke 18, 9 through 14, Pharisee and the tax collector, it's stunning. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I read something yesterday, a well-known evangelical who talked about those people who think that God is just mercy. And I understand there's a criticism, like feeling like there's people who get carried away with God's mercy. But I think what you're saying, even by suggesting this, is that, but at least going in that direction, I think as I look at, as I assess Christendom today, I'm like, I don't think we're carried away with it.
You know? Right. You know, it's interesting. Several years ago, a good friend of mine had asked when I was going to be done with my grace kick. And I immediately responded, I hope never.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is something that we as believers, you know, it's remarkable. And or as this old song says, it's amazing. You know, and I don't ever want to be, as you said, I don't want to see it as commonplace, because it's not.
All right. Yeah, this is what I had the same conversation with a pastor one time, and what he had said to me, I could tell you, the year was the year Peggy and I were getting married. And so I kind of felt like, as I'm wont to do, I maybe challenged the pastor a little bit after the message. I'm like, it felt like you were doing Grace Plus on us. And he explained, here's the deal. He said, grace is one floor of God's house. And he explained it. And I'm like, no, grace is the foundation of the house. And so that's where we kind of parted company. So, all right.
Absolutely.
We'll pick it up there tomorrow. Ongoing conversation.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Jason Kahn. Somebody else has a birthday today. Cher is 75. But you got to love this tune. I've Got You, Babe. I mean, come on.
Yes. Blast from the past.
And back when TV had variety shows, you got to remember the Sonny and Cher show. I know it preceded
you,
the youngster, Caleb.
Hey, I know Sonny and Cher.
Good for you knowing your history.
Culture.
And I feel sad that Sonny died in a skiing accident. That was sad. 62 years old.
He died doing what he loved, really.
He was a congressman, too, I think, right?
Yeah,
at the time.
And his wife took over his seat
in
Congress.
Yeah, there we go. There's the recap in a minute. All right, the NBA playoffs. I guess, Caleb, they're kind of underway, right? This play-in tournament kind of started.
Yeah, so a couple nights so far, and then game tonight and tomorrow to determine the final two spots in the playoffs.
But Susan, you came in the other day and you were like, hey, I listened to the Giannis interview of Jim Paschke, where basically that's where the news broke that Paschke, after 35 years, going to step down as the TV play-by-play guy for the Bucks.
Right. And I don't want to be sexist, but I need to care about the players and the people involved for me to get really invested in the team.
Relationships.
Right. And the Bucks have this amazing player, Giannis. He's been a great leader. He loves Jesus. He's Greek Orthodox and just a great story, extremely generous. And Jim Paschke, such a good man. So if you want to get behind a team, I encourage everybody out there to watch these playoffs and cheer on our Bucks.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I couldn't agree more with, again, to have a superstar in our state of Wisconsin. I know we're not the biggest state, the biggest market in Milwaukee. Again, it might seem big to us, but it's not New York. It's not L.A. Mm-hmm. And when Giannis chose to stay here because he really grew up in Milwaukee after moving here, but I mean talking about as being a young, what was he, 19 maybe when they drafted him?
Yeah.
And saying, this is my home. You know, Wisconsin, Milwaukee is my home. And the fact that he chose to stay here meant a lot. And he is... he is beyond likable.
Yeah, and he brought his whole family over.
Yeah, he sure had his brothers on the team. So anyhow, for starters, so we got three clips for you. First of all, Jim Paschke recalls meeting Giannis for the first time.
I remember when you came to Milwaukee, you were by yourself, and we met, and I remember this young, thin young man who was all alone and smiling and happy, and nothing has changed. Well, a few things have changed.
a few things.
But you're the same person, and I appreciated you that day, and I appreciate you today.
And then as you hear Giannis here talking about Paschke's retirement announcement, I mean, they've gotten to know each other on the road and the whole deal, and so listen to this.
Hey, man, 35 years. Jim and I was, you know, blessed to be, you know, a part of eight of them. It was amazing. You know, and I personally gonna definitely miss you. You know, you commentated the game, you know, being around the team, you know, laughing, cracking jokes together. But I'm happy that, you know, this decision was made, based on your son. You know, because at the end of the day, family is the most important thing.
And I guess what the background on that is, like a year ago, Paschke's son was getting married, and he said, Dad, would you think about retiring? And so apparently Paschke's known for more than a year he was going to do that, didn't want to hand off the job during the pandemic. But finally, Paschke shares, this is really cool, he shares his favorite memory with Giannis.
The night that they hung a banner in the Bradley Center honoring John McLaughlin and me for 30 years of broadcasting. You came over, you came out of the locker room at halftime and watched the end of the ceremony, and you came over and shook my hand, and I was able to introduce you to my mother. My mother talks about you to everyone she meets all day, every day, because you came over and said hello. And she thought that was so wonderful of you to take the time to come over and say congratulations to me.
Isn't that cool?
That shows that he is, his heart is very generous. And Jonas was so poor that he and his brother shared a pair of basketball shoes when they first started playing basketball. And now he gives away hundreds of pairs of shoes every year to kids who need shoes.
Right, that's another part of it, right? After the games, giving away
those how many times have we seen those videos? If you follow the Bucks at all on social media, how many times you see videos? And it's not, and again, sometimes it's reporters, sometimes it's from the Bucks. He's not doing it for the show, but you'll see Giannis. They'll be, hey, Giannis, it's my birthday, assign the stands. And Giannis will have invited the child down, you know, close to the sideline.
He's
I know it's been different in a COVID year, but, you know, he's giving him shoes or signing things for him too, because he just, you know, Giannis really seems to love people.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, this was a cool thing to see him on our broadcast.
I agree.
We are fans. I don't know if they'll take me back as a ball boy at 57 years old, but I may try.
Did you know there is no medical terminology for the back of the knee? It's called the back of the knee. But there are some things that do have names that you probably didn't know about. The first thing is that smell after it rains, you know, that clean greenish smell.
I love that
smell. That is petrichor from the Greek petra, stone, and ichor, the blood of Greek gods and goddesses. The term was coined by two Australian researchers in 1964.
So how would you use that after a rain, like even today? Would you just go, boy, it's a great petrichor.
Petrichor.
People are going to be impressed, right?
Yeah. You smell the petrichor today.
Yeah.
Things you did not know actually had names. Originally, a zarf was a metal chalice to keep the heat from your coffee from burning your fingers. The name for the fancy cup holder has morphed into the modern-day cardboard sleeve that comes wrapped around your hot beverage.
Zarf. Cardboard zarf now.
Cardboard. Gotcha. Hope you already ate your breakfast from mine. Mine is chanking. It is chewed up food that's been spit out. Come
on, some chanking on your plate there, toddler.
Okay, this is from, this is very elegant. Scroop is the rustling, swooshy sound ball gowns make. More specifically, it's the sound produced by the movement of silk.
So onomatopoeia in that. Scroop.
Scroop. And I will know that the next time I wear a silk ball gown, I will say, check out my scroop.
Yeah.
Things you didn't know had names here on the Wib Wake Up Show with Caleb, Mark, and Susan. If you've put your shirt on backwards, you have your arms in the wrong armsays, which are the armholes. I don't know why you wouldn't just call them the armholes. I guess they're called the armsays.
People with expressive faces often end up with wrinkles in their glabella, the space between the eyebrows.
Also,
and if you have a unibrow, you don't have a glabella.
But it's also called the 11s.
Uh-huh.
We call those the 11s. Because they make you look angry. So that's a common sight for Botox.
Your glabella is downcast today.
And finally, on the Wib Wake Up Show, the last thing you didn't know had a name. Libel is one thing, but a damaging lie made publicly known for political effect is a roorback. R-O-O-R-B-A-C-K. Roorback.
Roorback.
Yeah.
There you go. You got educated. Things you didn't know had names on the Wib Wake Up Show. WWIB. I don't know about you guys. I'm looking forward to the petrichor today, though.
Yeah, I love petrichor. Hope I said it right.
All right. Are you a type A personality? So we've got some questions. We're going to go around here. I think we need to answer these, too. It's kind of interesting. But are you? If you answer yes to three or more of these questions, the people who put together say you can bet that you are a type A personality.
Is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, and a type A personality, let's just say even, I mean, someone who's driven and competitive, generally more assertive, impatient, and always in a hurry.
But they also get things done.
They do. Yeah, without type A personalities, nothing would get done, probably. Yeah.
No.
They
yeah.
push themselves. Well, we don't. Caleb doesn't even need to take the quiz. They push themselves to the limits by multitasking and setting difficult goals and deadlines.
Wow.
I know I'm married to a type A personality.
Okay, so then there would be type B is. Okay, well, how do we get started?
You never hear about the other ones, though. Whoever talks about type B or C?
I would be like a type L, maybe. I'm pretty far down the line.
All right, let's start us off, Susan.
Okay, do you get bothered waiting in line at a store or restaurant?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just keep asking.
Do you, though, Susan?
No.
You don't? Wow, okay.
No, I just look around and...
Okay.
Pick which candy I'm going to get.
Okay.
Do you think about other things when talking to other people?
Yes.
I mean, I try not
all
to.
The time.
I mean, that's not the ideal, but sure.
Okay.
I know. I'm just, look.
Yeah. Honest.
This is, I'm not saying this like I'm proud of it, but
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
No, they're okay.
I admit that one.
Let's, first of all, I just want to say the type A's are the mover and shakers of this world that get things done. Okay. Uh-huh. Do you have a hard time falling asleep?
Generally, no.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. I would say when. I don't have a hard time falling asleep, but if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll have a really hard time getting back to sleep.
So that's a hard yes for Caleb.
Identify with that. Last night, 45 minutes of sleep, woke up at 9:30, and then I'm like, didn't go back to sleep till after 11. So
and
problems.
The thing is, like, if I wake up in the middle of the night, that's when the brain starts working, and depending on the stress level, that's when it just I can't shut off.
Yeah,
but falling asleep, I'll fall asleep before my kids. Oh,
because you're okay. Do you get bothered by the way other people drive?
Sure.
I'll plead the fifth.
Okay. Pet peeve song.
You've heard some of the songs, right? All right.
Do people ever tell you to calm down, chill out, or take it easy?
I've heard that.
I was going to say no, but my wife has given me...
Well, she's a person, so...
Yeah, general directive like that.
Yeah.
Only three questions left on the WIB Wake Up Show. Are you a type A personality? Do you grind your teeth?
No.
I got to say, I don't do that.
Good. Well, there you go. Do you often ask people to get to the point or give you a summary of what they're talking about?
I sure wish they would.
Yeah. I would say in my head...
Yeah.
It's like
in my head, I'm like,
yeah.
Speed this up a little
right,
bit.
Right, right.
In my head. But
right.
I try to
be
placid in the face.
The final question. Are you a type A personality? Do you enjoy change?
No.
I gotta say I don't.
Wow.
As much. So interesting.
Okay.
Mark and I have been working together too long now. We're far too similar.
I mean, my thinking would be, and I don't say this, I'm like, I would think that Caleb's stronger this way, but we did answer pretty similarly, so.
Yeah. How about listeners? Are you a type A personality? Are you too busy to answer? You might be a type A personality.
Susan's just the sweetness that softens our rough edges here.
But do you know, there's something about not being type A to be around type A's. You know, they got this. Uh-huh. I can just relax.
Now,
so thank you guys.
As we transition back to music, don't read anything into the drop I'm choosing.
Can't be too careful. A lot of bad drivers out there. W-W-I-P.